It's a blessing to be here again. I think it was last October when we were last here. So a lot of things have happened. We've just a couple of weeks ago, I was able to go. My wife wasn't able to. She had to, some of her work, her job would not allow her. I went from, Carlisle, Indiana, and preached at Indian River Baptist Church in the morning. Drove about an hour and 20 minutes home. Dropped her off. Threw a few things. I already had most of the car loaded. Drove 3 hours to Hartford, Kentucky, and preached at Barnett's Creek Baptist Church. Got up the next morning, had breakfast with the pastor there, then drove 5 hours to Egerton, West Virginia, and preached a meeting that lasted from Monday through Thursday, and we had a big time in the Lord. So it's a blessing to be able to come and preach. I'm glad that I wasn't preaching anywhere tonight. I'm glad to be here. I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be, brother. And so thank you so much for the kind words, and he is a good friend, he and Miss Amy and the family. We love them dearly. So I never preach just because it's a particular time, like if it's a particular holiday or something. I never want to just instantly say, okay, I will preach because that's the theme of what's happening that particular week or Sunday. But this evening, the Lord has given me this message that I feel like that I am to preach. And the title of it is Spiritual Heritage, the Traits of a Peculiar People. So if you have your Bibles, be finding Psalm 33. We're going to begin here in verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12. I'm going to read that verse. Then I have some other verses that we're going to go through. We're going to kind of break this up into two sections here this evening. Once you find your spot, if you would please stand and we'll show reverence to God's holy and powerful word as we get into this message this evening. I do pray that it encourages and that it strengthens and that it does help in a mighty way, in a mighty, mighty way. If you've got your spot there, Psalm 33 Verse 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful to be here tonight. We're thankful and grateful, Father, that you sent your Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for those of us who are here this evening who are saved. We're grateful and thankful for your grace and your mercy and your goodness and your kindness and your long-suffering. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and what it is that he has done for us in the saving of our souls. If there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, Lord, oh, that tonight would be that night. That you would draw them in the way that only you can through your word and as the Holy Spirit would woo them. And for the saints here tonight, Lord, stir them up and do that which only you can do in the preaching of your word. And Lord, I need to just decrease and I just desire more and more that you would increase. That I would say nothing that would be contrary to what you'd have me to say. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I know there are many who dispute and debate that America was built upon and founded upon godly principles. I know that we have that argument going on constantly. We were out in the car a while ago, and I saw a little thing that where Fox News had said that out of, I think it was 75 universities, there was only 23, if you were a history major, that expected you or wanted you to take American history. Now, does that make any sense? If you're a history major and you don't have to take American history and you're going to a university in what nation? America. And you don't take American history. It makes no sense whatsoever. I think they're trying to cover up something, brother. I think they got some things they don't want other young people to read about. So I think of the early settlers of this nation. They were ones who came over, who were looking to Almighty God for direction. Just like that song we were singing. That's a wonderful hymn to sing. I believe God planted America. I believe God had a purpose in the planting of America. I believe God had a people who he wanted to use in that purpose and in that planting of the nation that we get to call our home. Now imagine this. We get to live here. Isn't that wonderful? We could have lived anywhere. We could have been born anywhere, but we were born in such a place as America and the freedoms that we have because of those who went before us and who had a particular thing that they wanted more than anything else. So I want us to begin here. A peculiar people. History tells us that the pilgrims set sail in 1620. You say, I learned that back in the third grade. Well, amen. We need to know those things. In 1620, for Virginia, but they were blown off course on their voyage to the New World and landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts, where they established the first Christian colony in America. Can you imagine the excitement, the fear, everything that was going on within their minds, within their hearts? These Bible believers fled their home country of England because they did not want to conform to the ways of the church of England. They did not want to be under the bondage, under the tutelage, under any of those things of what it was that was expected of them in that country. Now, before they left England, they moved to Holland, and they were able to worship freely there, but there were three things against them. The language. They couldn't speak the language. Secondly, the work. There was not enough work to go around. The third thing was this, and this may be something new to some people in our nation. They did not like the way the way their children were being influenced by those young people in Holland. So they decided, we've got to move. Number one, we can't speak the language. Number two, there's no work. And number three, our kids are being changed in a direction that we don't want them to be changed in. They'd heard about the new world after much prayer and preparation and seeking God's face. After many setbacks and storms, they landed off of the shore of North America. And so, on November 11, 1620, 41 pilgrims signed the Mayflower Compact. This was our nation's first self-governing document. This document would have an impact on what? The Declaration of Independence. Please stay with me. This is part of my introduction, and I'm not here just to give... Pastor, I'm not here just to give a history lesson, but we've got something here that I believe God has for us. This compact reveals their intentions, and it is very important to know the intentions of those people because of who we are today and our history and our foundation. Once on the shore, here's was their intentions, to establish a new colony in God's name and for His glory and to advance the Christian faith. And so that was an early slab of the foundation of our nation that was poured. Once on the shore, they praised the Lord. So I say this again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Fast forward to 10 years later, we see a purposed people. We saw a peculiar people. Beginning in 1630, the Puritans, under the leadership of a man named John Winthrop, followed the pilgrims to the New World. I learned it was their desire to carry out some certain objections that they had. Number one was to carry the gospel and bring the fullness of the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. So you see, they were soul winners. They were wanting people to be saved. Secondly, they wanted to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. And so what are we saying? What did Paul say? If you preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. It is the true gospel. It is Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And no man cometh unto the Father, but by me is what the Lord Jesus said. And so as we think about our foundation, as we think about our history, as we think about this peculiar people, and we think about this purpose people, we also know this. They wanted to obey the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19-20 by sharing the gospel with the American Indians. So imagine that. This was what God had put on their heart. And they also wanted to be a city on a hill, a city of God, a holy city in America. We have come a far cry from those times and those days and that foundation. Like the pilgrims, the Puritans came from England and did not agree with the beliefs or the practices of the Church of England. And so we know this. They wanted God to be glorified. Secondly, they wanted God's word, the gospel, to go out. Thirdly, God's word to guide them in their lives and be the basis of their form of government. And so now, as I said earlier, we have those who want to debate, who want to get mad and red-faced and say that God has nothing to do with the founding of this nation. He is not interwoven in the very fabric of this nation. When all we have to do is look at past history and see the words of those past men and women who were a part of the building of the foundation of this nation and know that that's not the case. That God is in this nation in the founding and the forming of it. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We see that there was a peculiar people, and we see that there was a purposed people. But thirdly, we see that there is a praying people. So we fast forward to September the 6th, 1774. What has happened? England, in a pre-war move, has attacked Boston. And so the colonists are thinking, what in the world is going to happen now? We've had our freedoms taken away more and more and more and more. We have become nothing more than a pawn of the king. And this is not how we're wanting to live our lives. We want the freedom that we can have in Christ Jesus, to live a Christian life and to follow God and His word, not under the tyranny of the king. So on the morning of September the 7th, 1774, the First Continental Congress met in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to discuss and deal with the faltering relationship between the colonies and Britain. And who was in attendance that day? Well, it was a who of our nation, or our founding fathers. General George Washington was there. Patrick Henry, Samuel Adams, John Adams, and John Jay was just a few who was there. Now, there was a consensus among them. And what was that consensus? It was this: before we do anything, before we make any decisions, before we look any other direction, we must bring this to God above all else. They said, we must pray. We have got to seek God's face as to what it is that we are going to do, because we find ourselves in a mess, in a bind. We have England breathing down on our necks, and we are not having the freedom which we know that we want to have as a nation. And so they gathered together to seek His face and His counsel. Now, can you imagine our government doing that today? Now, listen, I'm not going to get political. Can you imagine our president saying, let's gather everybody together, and let's pray about what we need to do about these circumstances and situations of our nation? I'm afraid that that is not the case. And so it was there. They agreed that the Reverend Jacob Duché would lead them in prayer. But they also wanted to read from the Bible. And so that day, if you'll turn over with me to Psalm 35. Turn over to Psalm 35. This was this particular Reverend Duché's reading for the day. So he read this out loud to this group of men in the early parts of our nation. And when you read these words, knowing that England had just attacked Boston the day before, and they had heard about this thing, then we read these words, and we will see how God's hand was moving. Listen to what it says here in verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Verse 6, let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. And into that very destruction let him fall. Verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Now, I'm going to stop right there, but that is just the first 9 verses of Psalm 35, which was the reading that day. John Adams, in a letter to his wife Abigail, wrote, you must remember this was the next morning after we had heard rumor of the horrible cannonade of Boston. It seemed as if heaven had ordained the psalm to be read on that morning. Now, can you imagine what must have been going through their hearts and their minds, knowing what had just happened the day before? And as they were reading through these scriptures, it was speaking to them. It was calling out to God through God's word. He was meeting with them in that Psalm 35 that morning. So, after the reading of God's word, we know this from history. They finished with one more prayer, which was described with being given in much fervor and ardor. I thought, ardor, what in the world is ardor? It's zeal. Don't we need more prayers with zeal and energy? Hey, we have a living God that we serve. We have a holy, righteous, pure, living God who we can call upon because of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. We don't have to have a priest to go through to get to God anymore. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, we can now come to the Father. There is no need to go through a man. We can come boldly in our time of need. And so that is what they did. And what was their prayer? It was for America. It was for Congress. It was for the province of Massachusetts Bay and Boston. The faith of these men was on display that day early on in the very beginning of our nation. They went to the God of the Bible in prayer. Can I tell you something? We need to be doing that. That's what we need to be doing with our families, with our friends, with our church, with our nation and its leaders. They went to the Word of God and were encouraged. Have you ever had that time when you have been, the devil has just had you in a corner, just beating you down, and you thought, oh, God, I need a word. And you've gone to your Bible, you've opened it up, and the living Word, the Word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, has spoken to your heart. Think about the times that you were comforted, and think about those men being comforted so long ago. What does the Bible say? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible also says this, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now we fast forward and we see our nation. We're not trusting in the God of the Bible. We're not trusting in the living God. I'm speaking as a nation, not as the folks under this roof here right now, but we have turned. When you turn from God, you're turning to something else. And when you turn away from Him, you've got the back of your head and you're back to Him and you're looking in a different direction. I'm afraid that that is what we're doing as a nation. Now, I'm not here to bash our nation tonight. What I want us to take in is to think about the faith that was on display so many times. And each foundational slab that was poured by those who came before us. And how I do believe that God was moving powerfully in the beginning of what we now know is America. Our foundation was built on God. Our faith was in God in those early days. Now, think about this. In May of 1775, the Second Continental Congress came together with a want to stay out of war with Britain, but it was not. It was inevitable. It was going to take place. It was going to happen. Something had to happen to break that bondage, and it did. Which leads us to 1776. The colonists had been complaining for 20 years about the British tyranny and oppression that came from it. And so, on July the 2nd, 1774, the Congress accepted the final draft. And on July the 4th, 1776, it was made effective. A new nation was born. The Declaration of Independence has been called America's birth certificate, and we celebrate the freedom that we have. Listen, I'm not here to put America on the same plane as Almighty God. I'm not doing that here tonight. But when you think about this, God provided the authority for drafting the Declaration of Independence. The Bible provided the principles that were proclaimed in that document. You can't take God out of those things. It will not happen. It's as if you took melody out of music. You can't do it. You've got to have melody to have the music. And so it is God who has made these things possible. The price was high. Of the 56 signers, 9 fought and died in the war. 12 had their homes burned by the British. 5 were arrested by the British. 17 had their property confiscated. And think of the many others who gave their lives for the freedom that we have today, who had a love for country, who had a love for their fellow man, and who had a love for Almighty God. Now you say, now, brother, thank you for the history lesson. No, it brings us to this. Hey, that was the introduction. I've only got another 2 hours to go. Amen. I'm kidding. Go back over to Psalm 33 if you're not there still. We can be, can I tell you something? We can live independent of this world. We can have the freedom in Christ Jesus to live for our God. He can empower us. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit took up residence in you when you were saved. So think about this. The fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And there's a whole list there. But we have the power to live that God has given us through the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. So when you think of our nation, you think of each individual person who makes up that nation. Now, at home, we have a crawl space. And then we have a rubble and a pile of blocks that are sitting right here, let's say. On the crawl space, those blocks look wonderful. The joints are just great when they did that. Over here is a pile, a rubble of blocks that are broken. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Each one of us makes up the foundation of this nation. Each individual person in here. And so, if we're saved, if you're saved, which block are you? Are you a solid block that God can use for His glory and for the good of others? Or are we like that pile of rubbled blocks that have got mortar all over them and they're broken and they're just really of no use? So, I want us to look here in Psalm 33 and consider the traits of a peculiar people. Because listen, folks, we can make an impact every day, every single day. Our life is but a vapor. It's just a mist. It's only going to be here for a short time compared to eternity. Our time here on earth, it is basically nothing compared to what's coming. So what will we do with the time, with the gifts, with the resources, with the opportunity, with the days, the weeks, the minutes, the moments, all of those things? What will we do? Will we choose to be a peculiar people? Because as we read here in Psalm 33, I want us to consider some things. The traits of a peculiar people. The first thing is this, verses 1 through 3 is a people who rejoice in praising God. Think about that. That would be the beauty of praise. Look at verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that good? You could stop right there. Rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, look what it says. O ye righteous, for praise is comely, or it is beautiful for the upright. So let's break it down. Rejoice. That's what we should do. But in who? In the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. Circumstances, situations, scenario, they will break you in two if you allow them. But if you rejoice in the Lord in the midst of those things, you will live a life that will be a peculiar life, and people are going to notice it. They're going to see the difference. It's not that we rejoice when something bad happens. It's not that we rejoice in that. I mean, we can, but what if we rejoiced in the Lord in the midst of all those things? A people who rejoice in praising God, you will be, they'll say, you know what, he's a little bit peculiar. Why is that? Well, he's got this, 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 and this going on, and he's got this smile on his face. And there seems to be some sort of a joy going on. It's like there's something going on inside. Hey, there is. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You will have that. That will be something that will be peculiar to everyone around you. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to be an open door to share the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be a peculiar person, a people who rejoice in praising God. Look at verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Verse 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise or a shout of joy. You say, brother, I can't even play the radio, let alone an instrument. That's okay. There's people here who can play. We heard those two ladies playing. Brother Grant and his family, they play instruments. There are those who can, but can you shout out loud and make a noise that's joyful? Oh my, yeah, that's what we should do. There should be that. A people who rejoice in praising God, and you will make a difference in this nation. 1 minute, 1 moment at a time as you do this. Secondly, a peculiar people will be a people who regard the word of God. Look at verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. We could stay there all night. Think about it. It's right. After I got saved, do you know what I began to learn? How wrong I was about everything that I thought I was so right about. I had to relearn everything. My thinking was completely off. It had been skewered by my sinful nature. I was in Adam, but now I was in Christ. And so things began to open up as the Holy Spirit began to just open up the curtain. And I go, oh my, how wrong I've been. A people who regard the word of God. Let me ask you, do you regard that? Do you esteem it? Do you put it up high above other things? You see, this world is much like the rain we've had today. It can come down hard and it can wash us away from the very thing that we need to be in if we allow it. That's why we have to come here. That's why we have to come here and gather with other believers. And that's why we have to come and hear the word preached. But it doesn't stop there. When we leave these doors, we've got to gather around it and have a regard for it. Thy word is truth, the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever, is what the Bible teaches us. And so it says this, the entrance of thy words giveth light, and giveth understanding unto the simple. I'm simple. I need the word, but it must enter in before it can minister to. And so a peculiar people will be a people who regard the word of God. Look at verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Now that is a people who recognize the power of God. Think of God's creation. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Now let me ask you something. Don't you think you can trust God if by him simply uttering some words the world was created? The creation that he brought about? He didn't have to go down to Lowe's and get some supplies. No, he was the one who brought the supplies. He brought it all. Look here in verse 6. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. All right, look here, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. We have his creation. We have his commandment. Look here in verse 9. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So a peculiar people will recognize the power of God. When you recognize all of the creation that is of God, it will build and strengthen your faith, knowing this is my God, the one who has done all of this. Look in verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. We see the creation, we see the commandment, but we also see the counsel of God. When you take in God's word, you see and read of his creation, you see his commandments, but you also get the counsel, the things that we can draw and learn from his word. As the peculiar people, you will recognize the power of God, and you will find that power in his word as you have a regard for it. It's where we must be. It is a must. Fourthly, a people who reap the blessings of God will be the peculiar people. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You will know God's blessing as a person, as a people, as a nation, when he is the Lord, when he is over all, when you allow him to be the Lord of your life. When you say, you know what? I'm going to allow God to do whatever he wants to do with me, in me, and through me. I'm giving myself, Father, completely to you to use in any way you see fit. Now think about this. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul, what those around him must have been saying? Let's see. The Pharisee of Pharisee from the tribe of Benjamin. You know, he was a real blue blood. Had he been alive today, he would have been, oh, he's like royalty. He put all that aside on that road to Damascus. And when he got saved, God had orders for him where he was to go, what he was to do. Now picture Paul, beaten and left for dead, shipwrecked, bitten by a deadly viper. He was made fun of. He had a friend left him and just left him there. And when I think about all that God did through Paul, I picture his hands, what they must have looked like, making those tents. The Pharisee of Pharisee. You think he would have made a tent as a Pharisee? There would have been no way. None. What am I saying? The blessings from above that we have from God when we allow him to be Lord. Let me ask you. Do you think Paul would have looked back before his last breath and thought, I wish I'd never, ever followed the Lord? No way. It was worth it. Every stripe that was laid on his back, every rod that was beaten into him, every time he was made fun of, every time he was ridiculed. And you know, it had to have been tough at times. But God took care of him and he was faithful. What I want to ask is this. A people who reap the blessings of God are the ones who will allow God to be Lord of their lives, whether it's a person, a people, or a nation. Finally, a peculiar people will be a people who remember the provisions of God. Look at verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. You see, it's not going to be him on his own. God will be the one who provides. Look at verse 17. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. We remember the provisions of God when you are a peculiar people. Look at verse 19. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because he hath trusted. We have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Now that is a mouthful, but we need to remember the provisions of God. Look what it says here. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God is the one who provides for us powerfully. Think of your salvation. Think about being saved. Think about how God says, but God committed his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think of the position that we were in. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so spiritually speaking, we were dead. There was no hope. But when we think about the provision of salvation, when you think about the blood that was shed, when you think about the price that was paid, when you think about the plan that God had made through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The first thing that we can think about is this, as a peculiar people, the provision that God provides for our salvation. There would be no hope. We cannot save ourselves. There's nothing that we can do to get ourselves right with God. It is His plan. It is His person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that shed blood. So we remember the provisions of God. Look, and to keep them alive in famine. Think of the food that we have in this nation. Isn't it crazy when you think about, go out to eat and look at all the stuff that's wasted. All the stuff that's just sitting there. Think about how God provides these things. The traits of a peculiar people, a people who rejoice in praising God. It's the beauty of praise. It's comely. Secondly, a people who regard the Word of God. It's the benefit of God's Word. Thirdly, a people who recognize the power of God. We think about His creation, His commandment, and we also think about His counsel that He gives. Fourthly, a people who reap the blessings when He is our Lord and we look to Him for everything. And then fifth, a people who remember the provisions of God. Listen, early on in this nation, there were people who were seeking God's face, His direction. They came here because they no longer wanted to be under the tyranny or the bondage of where they were at. They wanted to be able to come here and have the freedom that was most given in God's Word and to be self-governed and not to be led around by the nose, but to do that which God would have them to do. And so we're here tonight. It's almost 5 till 7, and we think about these peculiar people. Here's the challenge. Does this describe me? Am I one who is rejoicing in praising God? Am I one who regards the Word of God? Am I the one that's recognizing the power of God? Am I the one who's recognizing the blessings of God? Am I the one who's remembering the provisions that God has made for me? You see, here's what happens oftentimes. We're quick to get caught up in the things of the world and we forget our Lord. We're so blessed in this nation. The freedoms that we have and the places that we can go and the things that we can do. But does this describe you? Have you been trusting the Lord for the totality of your life? It's a wonderful thing to look back on the faith of those early folks in our nation. But what about our faith today? What a difference that we can make one moment and one minute at a time as we trust in the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The traits of a peculiar people. My friends, is that describing you? Where are you at this evening with your faith? Have you been trusting the Lord? When you think back about our nation and the faith of those men in that room that day in Philadelphia, as they prayed, as they opened up God's Word, as they were seeking His face for the totality, not only of their lives, but of a nation. Dear believers, what is it that we are doing with what God has given us? Not only through His Son, but also through His Word that is making a difference in this nation today that looks a far cry from what it once looked like. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there anyone here tonight would say, preacher, just between me and you and the Lord, that I have not been living out this peculiar way. I have kind of gotten myself away from the Lord. Was there anyone here tonight that would raise their hand and be willing to say that? That maybe I'm not living the way I need to be living. Is there anyone? I see that hand there. I see those two hands, those three hands. I see those hands. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, I can't really recall a real fervency that I have for praying for our nation? Is there anyone here that would say, I know I need to pray more for our nation? Is there anyone here tonight that would be willing to raise their hand and say, yes, that's me. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Is there anyone here tonight? You are saved. You've been born again. And these provisions that God has provided, maybe you've gotten a little bit cold about that. Would there be anybody willing to say that would describe me? I see those hands. You may put them down. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have just some music play. If it's okay, if we can just have just the instrumental. And we're going to open up the altar. And I just encourage you to come down and allow the Lord to minister to your heart, to do a work. If you're not saved tonight, if you're uncertain of your salvation, then Brother Grant or me, and if there's a lady you'd like to speak to, we'd go through the Bible and show you the freedoms that we have in Christ Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you will not know such freedoms until you are born again. Jesus said you must be born again. We want to show you how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can be saved and know that heaven is your home. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I'm just asking that you'll do a work in this time of invitation, that you'll speak to hearts mightily. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the music begins to play...